A little cool in some areas. 2-3 degrees near Yorkton. We were considering the threat of frost last night here in Regina, but that was just not the case. A little further north, Saskatoon, they got down to 2 degrees. It's just a little cooler than what we experienced on that long Labor Day weekend. And when I see wind gusts of nearly 80 coming at us tomorrow afternoon, I know from my old weather days in television that this big ridge of high pressure that's kind of deflected all the systems off the west must be breaking down and coming our way tomorrow, and that's why the wind is really going to kick up. Joining me now, someone who knows all too well about that, is my buddy from Environment Canada, Mr. David Phillips as well. Good morning, David.
Well, Greg, thank you. Boy, you're sounding like a weather weenie.
Well, you and I go way back, so sometimes I just have to play with what I learn from you.
Well, Greg, I'm pleased about that. But you're right. I mean, it looks like hold on to your hat tomorrow. And yeah, I think we had a little bit of more cloud than we thought, and I think that's kept the frost away. And typically, you kind of have to think about the F word, because you typically in Regina get the first frost around the 11th or 12th of September. Now, last year, you went early to October to see it early October. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of the frost time, but boy, I see some great weather after this windy bout of maybe some rain tonight around midnight, and then winds tomorrow, and then after that, really beautiful weather, great harvest weather. Temperatures are, the minimum temperatures are well above the zero mark, up to 9, 10, and afternoon temperatures more like 24, which should be 4 degrees warmer than normal. So I think you're in for a stretch of some pretty good weather, and I'm sure the combines are going to go morning, noon, and night. So it's good from that point of view. We look at September, Greg. I mean, I'd like to say a couple words about the summer. I mean, the summer was really kind of warm. It was bookended, May and August, very warm, and too much smoke, though, and it kind of kept June and July temperatures a little lower than they normally would be, because the sun couldn't get in to roast and bake you. And so overall, temperatures, you know, it was a warm, a little bit warmer than normal, because thankful, because of May, August. You had 16 days where the temperature got above 30. And, Greg, there were many days where it didn't quite reach 30, but it was like 29.9, 29.5. So it really was well above normal from that point of view.
Yeah.
Precipitation always, you could have done with more, and we thankfully got some rain up in the north in August. Fort LaRange, for example, got almost 100 millimeters of rain, so that certainly helped out some of those hot spots. So,
well, David, and looking ahead is where I wanted to go next, because you told me, I think last time you were on my show, that September might be a little warmer than normal. So here we are, the first week of the month. Yeah. What are you seeing in the next month or two?
Well, it looks like September is going to be warmer than normal. So my sense is that the models are suggesting that. The Americans are agreeing to that. Now, October, it kind of, I would describe it as normal. But if we look at the period, though, Greg, September, October, November, the fall period, we're showing it to be warmer than normal. Now, not July warm. Come on. I mean, this is the fall. And we certainly will. Will we have snow on the pumpkin? Well, maybe not, because you didn't get it till last year, until after the middle of November. So, you know, I mean, there are some small mercies there. And so frost coming later, snow coming later, you got to make the fall pretty good. So certainly September looks more like summer than winter. October, kind of the transition. And November, I think we're going to still say milder than normal.
Wow. David Phillips, you bring a lot of good news here. And generally, right now, with the harvest underway, we're looking to keep it steady and dry here. And
yes,
it looks pretty promising. But Mr. Phillips, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I appreciate it.
Okay, Greg. Bye-bye now.
Off to school, hopefully, a little easier than yesterday. Perhaps there were a few nerves, both for parents and kids alike yesterday. But off to school, short work week. It's already Wednesday morning. Regina Pats are into preseason action tonight in Swift Current, where they'll take on the Broncos, of course. And their first preseason home game is this Friday against the Wheaties. And this is Regina Pasta Week, too, ahead of the Queen City Marathon coming up on the weekend here. So you can carb load in the tastiest way possible. A lot of downtown restaurants offering fuel up pasta dishes in celebration of the big marathon. And if you're training, I hope it's gone well. And it's almost here. The big Queen City Marathon this weekend. Well, I was kind of entertained by Ontario Premier Doug Ford yesterday. He's wanting his citizens to boycott Crown Royal as Ontario is set to lose in this one community maybe as many as 200 jobs to a U.S. bottler.
You're going to make these people struggle that they can't pay rent. They aren't going to pay a mortgage. They barely put food on the table when there's not too many companies in that small town. What, have you lost your mind?
Yeah, in that town, it's a bottling plant for Crown, right? And they're moving that to the U.S. And yeah, that is horrible that it's costing up to 200 jobs. But as Ford was attempting to dump out a bottle of Crown yesterday for effect, it was kind of comical because someone, well, they took the plastic off the top and the lid off for him, but that little plastic pour stopper that's in there to slow the stream was still in there. And as he's trying to tell everyone, you know, he's dumping this out in protest, it was going so slowly.
This is what I think about Crown Royal. That's what they could do. And I think everyone else should do the same thing. Start supporting companies that make whiskey here by Ontario people. That's what we need to do is support each other.
Yeah, he went on to ad-lib quite a long time as he realized it was taking forever. Anyhow, he says support each other. I bet you the folks in Manitoba have something to say. Crown is made in Gimli, Manitoba. So Premier Bob Cadieu out of Manitoba, he's coming back with something you would think today. I imagine he'd be a little annoyed at Ford and salty Manitobans to go against Crown Royal. Employs something like 700 people in Manitoba. Ford's plant is home to about 160 to 200 people. And as I said, that's lousy. They could be losing their jobs like that. But Gimli, Manitoba is home to the distillery itself. And their warehouse of barreled whiskey leans on local farmers and suppliers. They source local ingredients into the product. And but really, this what Ford's doing here, good example of how companies are doing exactly what Trump wants them to do, right? For now, our response seems to be, well, pour liquor out and rant in front of the cameras. And he might have got his viral moment there, at least in Ontario. I don't know how well that's played across the country. On the other hand, this province out east is being hit hard by tariffs right now. Lots of steel and aluminum out east, of course, too. And lots of Canadians drink Crown Royal. And I don't know, to boycott it, Gimli, Manitoba, it's home to the barrels that churn out. That facility, I had a tour of it a long time ago. It's quite stunning. It runs 24 hours a day. It's huge. 24 hours a day they make Crown, 365 days a year. And it houses millions of barrels made and moved by Canadians. And they say there are more barrels of Crown on site there than there are people in the province. That's what they told me when I once toured it. I don't know if that still remains true or not, but man, it is crazy. Well, harvest is well underway in our province, and I know it's a little behind in some areas compared to where we were this time last year, but for Nick Cornea, it seems right on track. He farms near Drinkwater, about 40 minutes from us. It's south of Belle Plaine. Nick, good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good today. How are you today, Greg?
I'm well. What's life been like typically hour-wise for you lately?
Well, between combining and doing some straw bales in the evenings and nighttime and getting up early to get trucks unloaded and all that kind of stuff, get combines greased and blown off, she's been a busy one.
I bet it is. How is this year's harvest shaping up compared to previous years?
It's not terrible in our region. For not having a whole lot of rain like we did this year, it's actually some of our yields are pretty surprising. So told the kids we don't have imaginary Christmas just yet. We still got to get our canola off.
What crops are you harvesting right now, and how are the yields?
So we did our red and green lentils, and they were pretty good. Lentils, they like their heat and their stress and everything. So this is a good year for them. A neighbor used to always say lentils only need water twice in their life, once right after you plant them and then once before you put them in the pot. So they were pretty good. The wheat was hit and miss. Some fields were really good. Some were kind of meh. Hearing lots of good yields all different places, and then some places where, you know, three bushel an acre. They're chem following them. Their crop insurance is in their territory kind of thing. But yeah, for us, we've been pretty good. I can't totally complain about it, but it's been good.
Good to hear. And have you faced any major challenges during this harvest the last few weeks?
It's been running fairly smooth. Haven't had any major breakdowns in that. The odd oil leak on a tractor, stuff like that. Had a couple neighbors. We had 2 days in a row that one neighbor's combine burnt and then another neighbor's combine burnt, all within basically 24 hours of each other. Depressing and kind of a reminder to, you know, do your due diligence. And I mean, they all, like, they blow their combines off like everyone else, and it's just, yeah, things can happen. But community rallied together for both of them, and some guys went and helped them combine and not keep them caught up. Yeah, it's just good to see the community working hard and getting it in the bin.
That is a good story, yeah. Nick Cornea, farming, crop report from the combine. Are you seeing any trends or changes in how harvest is being done in your area at all?
No, yeah. Everything's kind of the same this year. Guys are running their combines early in the morning to late at night, and there's a new demo or a prototype combine up north of Moose Jaw that people see once in a while on the highway there, a Nexact or whatever. It's pretty cool. 3-in-1 system that's getting put to the test up north. So not on my farm yet. No, she's still in prototype scenario.
Well, it does seem the harvest is a bit behind from what it is or what it was last year. Is that the case for you?
No, we're about 2/3 done. We've got maybe 1,700 acres or so of canola left. We just finished our durum wheat yesterday. So, yeah, I think everyone's kind of progressing favorably in our area. Obviously, you go to the southwest corner and that's the... They're a little faster, and you go up north, guys are just starting to get rolling. I've got relatives up north that starting to swath their canola and get that stuff ready to go, but not much else going on.
So how are commodity prices affecting the outlook this year on the farm?
They're not the best. We've seen better, that's for sure, and we're hoping for that arrow on the chart to go
the other way.
Set it down. Yeah.
Well, Nick, you're busy on the farm. I appreciate you taking a few minutes this morning. What's your go-to harvest music playlist?
Depends on the day. If it's a frustrating day, we're going 90s bangers. Blink 182 to Alice in Chains to, you know, maybe in a little Metallica on there. Laid back day, throw on the country's greatest hits, you know, a little Brooks and Dunn or some King George, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not just one fell swoop for me. I'm a man of many music.
You're a universal music lover, I can tell. And what's your go-to snacks that got to be next to you?
Oh, crispers. Dill pickle crispers. They're baked, not fried.
Well, if they're listening, maybe they'll send you a few boxes now.
I would get a crisper tattooed on me just so I could have free crispers for the rest of my life.
Well, I hope that dream comes true, Nick. Nick Cornea, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, bye-bye. Greg.
Alex Warren, the song is Ordinary. I'm sure you've heard it before. It is the song of summer, according to Billboard magazine, who tracks music, declaring Alex top of the songs of summer chart. They run it for 14 weeks at Billboard, and this song, Ordinary, topped it the whole time. So there you have it, the song of summer, Ordinary, from Alex Warren. I'm Greg Morgan, and I know the Riders had a well-deserved day off. Perhaps they were going over tape behind the scenes. I don't know. But today they get back to practice 9-2, preparing for the Banjo Bowl on Saturday. And it's going to be interesting to hear whether or not the coach addresses our kicking situation.
Lothar putting it left and missed that point after it. And I'll be hearing about it a bit, too. There's been a lot of heat on him lately, as you talked about. So it's a six-point game.
Yeah, in one of the latest commentaries at CJME.com from Jamie Nye, he's asking Rider head coach Corey Mace to end the speculation and debate. Make a decision. Make it clear as soon as possible about kicker Brett Lothar. And either just say, Brett is my guy, or Campbell Fair is our new guy. And I can't say I disagree with Jamie. Get on it today, though, coach. I think this is the opportunity Brett moves to the practice roster. He's had a fair shot, and I know he's had a lot on his mind. Just had a baby last week as well, too. But coach has got to make the tough decisions. And, you know, you look back, he's missed a few throughout the season here. And you go one, two, maybe three games now where you're missing. First one, okay, that's all right. We'll get it back next one. Second one, okay, better tighten up. Miss a third in a row, and it's becoming a pattern, right, I think. But that's just my opinion. You know, Brett's an awesome guy, great community leader. I think he'll be back. I just think you sit him on the practice roster and make the move early in the week here before we get to Winnipeg. Some of you, Garth texts me at 1-877-300-7275, and he said, agree with you, Greg. Unfortunately, he needs to go to the practice roster. 1-877-300-7275. Tell me what your thoughts are. I know this will be a continuing story, I bet, with Jamie and Locker later this afternoon. Usually it's a quarterback controversy, but there's no controversy there. But it's a kicking controversy here. Hey, football fans, I know I was at a pub on the weekend, and in the corner were just a ton of people. You could tell they were doing their fantasy football. And now the NFL kicks off its regular season tomorrow as the Super Bowl champion Eagles host the Dallas Cowboys. So it's hard to be a Cowboys fan right now. Regina Pats preseason starts tonight in Swift Current, taking on the Broncos. And their first preseason home game is Friday against the Wheat Kings. Regular season doesn't open, I believe, on the 26th. They start their season. All right, coming up here on this day two of going back to school, you are reminded that Regina Police Services are randomly choosing school zones to show up in again this morning, ensuring that everyone is slowing down. The radar guns were out when I went to pick up my daughter yesterday at high school, and they promised they're going to be out, keeping everyone in check again today, reminding you, slow down at 30. You're going 50 to 30, that's $310 ticket right there if they catch you, plus 3 demerit points on your license. So check yourself as you get ready to head to work this morning, if not already, and going through school zones. They're a lot busier again, and a lot of kids excited, not really paying attention either. So you have to pay attention. It's 827.